most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
We've made it to hour number four of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson. Vince Ferrara pinch hitting for Jimmy Hyams. And again, we look forward to bringing you comments from Tennessee football coach Jeremy Pruitt as he joined Dan Patrick this morning on the Dan Patrick Show. So we have that and a number of things to talk about. And Vince, one of the things that that you like to, of course, put so many different things under the microscope, but just a look at where Tennessee stands in correlation to other programs in future scheduling. Tennessee might be just a little bit behind the curve when it comes to other plans that have already been nailed down by other schools.
Yeah, a different philosophy by a lot of SEC schools are taking and beefing up their non-conference schedules, and Tennessee has not scheduled those games, those enhanced games. So took a deeper dive into that, and look forward to chatting about that a little bit later on.
So that'll be later this hour, but right now it's your chance to win with the Sports Fix at 6. Vince Ferrara, what is up for grabs this evening?
A $25 gift card to Fairways and Greens.
All you have to do is be the first caller with the correct answer to this question. As we talked about with Barry Rice earlier to actually right there at the start of the show in hour number one, we have a big night of programming on ESPNU for Johnny Majors this Friday. You will have the documentary, Johnny Majors Straight Ahead. That'll be from 8 until 9. Before that, at 6 o'clock, you'll have Tennessee and Virginia in the 91 Sugar Bowl. After that, you'll have the 77 Sugar Bowl when Pitt, as coached by John Majors, defeated Georgia to win the national championship. So, here is the question. Oddly enough, that was just the Tennessee game for Virginia was just the fourth bowl game in the history of the Cavaliers football program. They have 21 bowl appearances under their belt. They have played four other SEC schools in bowl games, and they have beaten two. Name the two Southeastern Conference schools that Virginia has a bowl win against. One of them's not Tennessee. Name the two schools that Virginia has a bowl win against. And you can do so. Give us your guess by dialing 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Let's start with Danny. Hello, Danny.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing, Vince?
Good. Hanging in there, Danny. Hope you are.
Okay. Now, what was the question again?
Virginia has beaten two SEC schools in bowl games. Who are they?
Oh, okay. Let's see. I'm going to say South Carolina and Vanderbilt.
You are half right.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Sure do appreciate it, Danny. Have a great night. Let's go to Allie. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Allie.
Hey. Let me try South Carolina and Georgia.
Wow. You're all over it. Is that a guess or did you know?
No, that was a guess. I think the thanks to the first caller, and I was going to guess Georgia and Florida, but the caller clued me in. Hey, if you've got an attaboy, I'll take that instead.
Oh, really?
Oh yeah, yeah, that'll be fine.
Well, no, are you out of town?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what. We can. Why don't we go ahead and just go through the process as we should, and who knows, we might come up to another understanding, but we can certainly prepare quickly for you a golden attaboy. Happy to oblige in that regard, but you are absolutely correct. In fact, it was the second bowl appearance for Virginia against an SEC school that they got their win against Georgia, and that was in the 1995 Peach Bowl. They beat the Bulldogs in Atlanta, 34-27. After falling to Tennessee, the Volunteers with a great fourth quarter rally to come back and beat the Cavaliers 23-22 in that Sugar Bowl. They have also played Auburn, which was a loss. They've also played South Carolina, which is the other win. They did that in Charlotte at Bank of America Stadium in the Belk Bowl in 2018. And most recently went up against Florida in the Orange Bowl as they fell to the Gators 36-28 this past season. But, Allie, you are our winner, so congratulations. Vince, tell him what he's won.
A $25 gift card to Fairways and Greens.
And you also receive a golden attaboy, which is yours for life, and we hope that you'll hang on and talk with our producer afterward after this audio reward.
The champ is here!
I hate this idea that you're the best. Because you're not. I'm the best. I'm the best in the world.
And I was here becoming the youngest WWE champion ever.
And I've heard it said that guys like you weren't made for my world. You were built for the WWE. And that's a good thing because guys like you would not have made it in my world.
There's only one John Cena, and I'm still a bad, bad man. And my time is now. Recognize.
Your time is up, my time is now. You can't see me, my time is now. It's the franchise where I'm shining now. You can't see me, my time is now.
So congratulations to Allie, showcasing some mad trivia skills by making it two and done with tonight's Sports Fix at 6 as it is, let's see, Virginia has played five teams from the Southeastern Conference and wins against two, one against Georgia. And in fact, Vince, they've met the Bulldogs three times in bowl games. The Bulldogs have won the last two, but that's the only SEC school they met on multiple occasions in football's postseason.
And then, of course, one of those that they came up short in was Florida last year.
That's right, in the Orange Bowl. So they've made some solid appearances. 21 bowl games in their history, 8-13 all time for the Cavaliers. And I think folks will enjoy watching the second half, the fourth quarter especially, for that 91 Sugar Bowl, which you'll see 6 o'clock Friday evening, ESPNU, that leads into Johnny Majors, Straight Ahead, the documentary that we caught up with our friend Barry Rice about. And if folks wanted to hear that conversation or perhaps podcast other shows, Vince, where could they do that?
99.1thesportsanimal.com. You can go to the shows tab under Sports Talk and you'll find it there. If you go to the audio tab, go to Sports Talk, you'll find it there. If you scroll down on the main audio section, there's some of the more recent full station interviews in that podcasting section. You'll find it there as well. So lots of spots on our website. Or if you subscribe to our full station podcast feed on either iTunes or Google, you'll find it there. Or if you subscribe just to the Sports Talk feed on Google or iTunes, you'll get it there as well, automatically updated. So make sure you subscribe to any of our station shows and podcast feeds so you can get those automatically on your phone on whatever platform you happen to use. But they're always archived there on the website if you're looking for it.
And that's it's all right there, ready for you. And Vince, what's coming up tonight at 8 o'clock?
In the Cage MMA Radio, we're going to follow up, Will, with the starting 11 talking soccer as the EPL and soccer in many countries around the world are back in the U.S. still to come with that. But we're going to follow up that show at 8 o'clock, 8 to 9, and we're going to visit with Eric Turner, who is the president and owner of Valor Fighting Challenge. They are back. It's one of the first sporting events, if not the first spectator sporting events in Knoxville, will take place this Friday at the Cotton Eye Joe with Valor Fighting Challenge. Now, they're only having a percentage of their capacity in there, so it'll be a couple of hundred versus a couple of thousand that they could get in there. but they'll have social distancing, people wearing masks, all that. But there will be fights that will take place this Friday at the Cotton Eye Joe. So we'll talk to Eric Turner about that. One of his fighters is fighting nationally at Invicta FC, Liv Parker, tomorrow night. So we'll talk to him about that. And we'll look back at the last UFC event and look forward to some upcoming UFC events, including Fight Island, which is just a few weeks away in with the UFC, with starting with UFC 251. So lots of MMA to talk about for a full hour, Tim Loy and I, from 8 until 9 here on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
So Sports Talk on until 7, then it's the starting 11 with Will West, and then in the cage, Vince Ferrara, MMA Radio. That's all coming up tonight on 99.1 The Sports Animal. What we'll do now is get a break. When we return, we look forward to sharing comments from Tennessee football coach Jeremy Pruitt, as this morning joined Dan Patrick on his show. This is Sports Talk on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
When special guests call in to 99.1 The Sports Animal, you hear them on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline, stanleyfence.com.
Sports Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. And you can join the conversation at any time between now and the end of the program. 656-9900, 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Why don't we go ahead and share with you comments that came earlier today, as this morning, right before 9:30, it was Tennessee football coach Jeremy Pruitt joining Dan Patrick on his show.
Starting his third season at the University of Tennessee, head coach is Jeremy Pruitt, who joins us on the program. Good morning, Coach. How's morale?
Yeah, everything's great. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. You guys got in the news. Well, you've been in the news for a couple of reasons. Another great recruiting class. But Philip Fulmer says going to have 100,000 fans at the home games there in the fall. How optimistic are you that you'll have 100,000 fans watching Volunteers football?
Well, if they completely open up the stadium, I'm sure there'll be 100,000 people there for sure.
But do you think there will be?
Well, I don't know about that. That's there's lots of time between now and then.
How optimistic are you that you can start this season on time?
You know, our medical staff has done an outstanding job getting our players back and working a plan. And through the SEC, you know, we've done a nice job executing the plan, and we've got to continue to do that.
Compare this June to last year at this time.
Well, it's obviously we started later, you know, and it's been voluntary. So, you know, it's been more so with the players and the strength staff as opposed with the coaching staff. So all the meetings have been online. So it's obviously a little bit different.
Are you allowed to announce the number of players who have tested positive? I saw where Alabama, Clemson, LSU, it feels like that's been a team or school announcement. What about Tennessee?
Yeah, with all the players that we've had in here and that we've tested, we've had zero positive tests with the guys that we've tested.
How often are they going to be tested the rest of this summer?
Well, that will be up to our medical staff. You know, our guys are going out for a three-day weekend this weekend, so they'll have a plan when they come back to get everybody within our program tested, and we'll start over.
Yeah, you know, we're in these – it's almost like day-to-day, Coach, trying to figure this out of, you know, we keep saying, well, we're going to start on time, and I keep telling people, and this is day-to-day. You can have those goals, and we can wish for that, but what do you say to your players – as far as whatever concerns they may have, what's your message to them?
Yeah, we've been worried about the things that we have control over. So once we get in here and we have tests and we don't have negatives, you know, we kind of control our own surroundings, you know. So within our program, we've done a very nice job of that this summer, and we've got to continue to do that.
When do you have full contact practice?
Let's see. We start practice on August 7th, so it's 3 or 4 days after that.
I was looking at the quarterbacks you've coached against when your stay at Tennessee: Jared Stidham, Tua, Drew Lock, Jake Fromm, Will Greer. Who was the toughest to prepare for out of that group?
Well, I'm sure all these guys present different problems, but you know, that's kind of in the past. I'm kind of looking.
Have a little bit of fun, Coach. Come on.
I'm looking to the future to see who we've got to compete against.
Come on. Who was the toughest one out of that group? Because I'm curious about Stidham. He seems a little bit more of a mystery there. Tua, we know a lot about. Lockett feels like he's coming on. And not sure about Fromm and Greer. But tell me about Stidham.
Well, you know, that was a couple of years ago. So, you know, the system that he played in, you know, they really throw the ball more down the field. There's not a lot of RPOs and stuff. So, you know, we actually had a good day against him. I mean, over the last couple of years, it's been pretty obvious in our league, the guys that we've played against, you know, Tua's been as good as anybody I've coached against in a long time. And I felt like Jake Fromm did a nice job as far as managing, you know, his offense over the last 3 years that we competed against him.
Does it help? You were a high school quarterback, I think went to college to be a quarterback. Does it help as a defensive-minded guy that you played the position? Does that help at all?
Well, I think when you start talking about defense, if you want to be good defensively, you got to start from the back end and work your way forward. So being able to eliminate explosive plays really starts with the defensive back. So whether it's in the throw game or squeezing the runs off. So, you know, I do think that probably my experience as a quarterback in high school helps me have a little bit better understanding of what people are trying to do offensively.
Who plays the position the way you played quarterback?
The way I played quarterback?
Yeah.
I would say most of them play it much better than I did.
Yeah, but were you a Brady-like? Were you a Rodgers-like, an option guy, Cam Newton guy?
I wouldn't say I was like any of those guys.
Do you have any Alabama gear left?
No, I don't.
Got rid of everything? Did you have a garage sale?
No, I had a lot of friends I could just give it away to.
Where's your Tennessee colors here? You're kind of subdued today. I expected some orange here.
Well, this is a shirt that they gave me to wear for this interview.
Oh, they wait, I got to – who's your – I need checkerboard. I need something here. Who's your wardrobe guy? Let me talk to him.
You got to talk to Roger Frazier.
Come on, Rog. Give me some orange here. Man. Hey, well, good luck with the season and all these hurdles that we have coming up. We appreciate your time, and good luck this season, Coach.
Thank you.
That's Jeremy Pruitt. He's a former defensive coordinator at Alabama and Tennessee Volunteers. He was spent 8 years with Coach Saban at Alabama.
So, Dan Patrick, giving a lot of grief to Tennessee's head coach. And Frazier makes the conversation. So, but I just thought one thing that stands out is you just don't – Jeremy Pruitt and others just don't have a whole lot of use for hypotheticals.
No, it's standard with a lot of coaches, and I'm sure Dan Patrick has talked to plenty of coaches or a number of them that would give you a lot – in terms of an answer that you're looking for, honest, full conversation, but that's not the norm. Most of them are going to be a little bit more guarded, not talk about tons of stuff in the past, and not get into the hypotheticals, comparisons as well. Boy, Nick Saban, he is not a fan of those either. Hey, Coach Saban, how do you compare this year's team to last year? Ooh, man, that would stir up some rants from him. So Jeremy Pruitt doesn't respond in the way that Saban would oftentimes. But that interview was a little odd. I thought it was choppy. And, you know, starting it out with what Philip Fulmer, if you just take his quote that he actually had with Jimmy and I when we talked to him on the show, that if you just take it in just that sentence that – they anticipate absolutely having a full stadium. He also mentioned that in full context, he also mentioned that they're preparing for all the other scenarios as well. In fact, I followed up and asked them, Philip, if you don't have all the fans there, how do you decide who gets the tickets? And his response to me, he started laughing. He said, well, Vince, we'll just let you decide. And I wished him good luck with that. he didn't make this grand declaration like the question made it sound like, that Philip Fulmer expects a full stadium. It was more, when you listen to it, it was more of the hope, and they're planning for, because they're still selling season tickets, and if they have to adjust, they have plans for all those things. So that's what happens when you just grab a quote off of an interview. It can be misinterpreted in different ways, and I don't think there's a lot of harm in that, but just made it a little choppy, and Coach Burr wasn't as responsive to the directions that he wanted to go to. Dan Patrick's a great interviewer, but that one was just a little bit off, I thought. What'd you think, John?
Yeah, I would agree. It was interesting what came out of it, and was not surprising to hear that Tennessee went through its first round of testing when everybody returned, and you didn't have one player test positive. You did have a graduate assistant, and immediately that person was sent to quarantine and has gone through this very specific protocol that Tennessee has in place. And so when the team returns from this 4th of July weekend, they're going to go through another round of testing. And obviously you want as few positives as possible, and we'll see whether or not Tennessee is able to stay ahead of that, whereas it's been a struggle for some programs to stay in front of something that is really important too, just kind of keep tabs on, as well as if you do have positives, like we've had a couple of Tennessee basketball players, that you have the plan in place and you follow it to the letter of the policy.
Absolutely. It's one school is doomed because they have positive tests, and another school is good to go because they didn't have any positive tests. You just never know about the surroundings. You can do everything to try to prevent it, and it may still happen. You may have some kids that needed the reality check and didn't take all the precautions and went to too many parties and let their guard down, that maybe they test positive. Hopefully they'll be able to recover and be all right and not spread it to other people, but then use that as a learning tool to say, ooh, we cannot afford to put everybody else and our school and the sport at risk, so I gotta tighten up the typical activities, and hopefully that more of that will happen than the negatives of it. But it's inexact, so we'll see what comes of it.
That we will. You're a learning tool. Had to say it.
Yeah. You said learning tool. I think the learning was silent in your interpretation, though.
No, and I mean
but
in a good way.
We understand.
That's Vince Ferrara. I'm John Wilkerson. We'll get a break. We've got more coming your way. To join us on Sports Talk, 656-9900, 656-9900. That's how you join us on 99.1, The Sports Animal. Talk continues. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. Let's go to the phones and say hello to Roger, who joins us. Hi, Roger. How are you?
I'm doing fine, John. I'm doing fine, John. How you doing? How you doing, John? Tonight?
Doing well. Thank you.
Good. Hey, Vince. How you doing? How you doing, Vince?
I'm doing, Roger. Good, doing well. Good to hear from you.
Well, thank you. To talk to you, I just wanted to ask you about that interview with Pruitt, and it's kind of funny. I just want to ask y'all about the interview. I guess for hearing it too. That's pretty funny interview. I mean, it was kind of about Paul about he asked about last year, and he put it want to go back to the, and he keeps saying, "Come on, coach, have some fun." And I just want to ask you about that. I just want to ask you, were y'all surprised about that? Kind of funny. He asked him again. He said, "Have some fun, coach," and he didn't want to go back. You know, so that's kind of funny. You know, about that, that part. You know, would y'all surprised about that? Any?
Not really surprised, Vince.
Yeah, no, because we've seen Jeremy Pruitt in press conferences, so it wasn't that different from what we've seen. He'll slide in a joke here and there, but he's not a coach that's just wide open and letting loose and joke around. That's just not. His style, not in the media at least. Maybe he's a little bit more of a cut up privately to recruits and things like that. But I'm guessing that, it sounds like there was already some reaction on the show that people that don't hear from Jeremy Pruitt a lot would probably be like, "Wow, that coach, he doesn't want to relax." And there might be some negative reaction to people that don't often hear from him. And I wonder if that really, how much of that happened on that show. But it's not alarming or different or bad for those of us that have heard him talk and go through many a press conference. That's who he is. It just didn't match what Dan Patrick wanted him to loosen up, and he wanted to keep it moving forward. That's all.
I mean, I'm surprised that he asked him again about that. And the guy asked him again the same thing. He didn't want to make. He's proud about that, John.
No, not really. Because I think Dan Patrick is. I mean, one, I think he has a good time, and I think that's all he was doing was just. It's a lot of times it's a very relaxed conversation, and I think that was, and so I just think that's part of Dan's personality, and it's one of the things, Vince, that I enjoy a lot about Dan Patrick.
Well, look, he's got experience in getting a lot of interviewees that when he interviews them, that they don't want to open up, and he's able to break through with his follow-ups and the way he makes them typically feel comfortable. So his style has been very, very effective through the years. So it just wasn't working with Jeremy Pruitt this time.
Oh yeah, and I just wanted to ask you. I know 4th of July is coming up. Do y'all have any plans for 4th of July this weekend?
I hope that people that want to enjoy fireworks get to enjoy fireworks. But I think we'll just be hanging out around the house.
Yep.
Okay.
Same here.
Good.
Staying in and hope the fireworks aren't too late at night. You know.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
What about you, Roger? You got any plans?
Hopefully, see what. Hopefully.
Enjoy that. But hey, Roger, thank you very much.
Thanks, Roger.
And so we do appreciate Roger. 656-9900 to join us. 656-9900. Vince, as we've talked about, why don't we go to Ken, who joins us. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Ken.
Hello, gentlemen. How are y'all this evening?
Doing well. And yourself?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you very much. I have a quick question. A couple of buddies of mine were talking, trying to figure out a golf answer. If you're 18 under, John, which you are most of the time you play golf.
We're talking butt-butt.
and Jimmy and Vince are 16 under, and I happen to slip in at 16 under, and they're doing twosomes. How do they pick the person that plays in the very last grouping?
That's a really good question. I do not know right off the top of the consideration. I might take a quick look. It could be, it might be a specific hole in that round. It could be who had the lower round the day before, or who's had the best round that day. I think there could be any number of considerations. You could also consider that it might be different one tournament to the next as part of how their rules are employed, because just look, it used to be that you had four different major tournaments and four different ways to settle playoffs.
Well, and we were talking, we wondered if the person that shot 18 under picked who he wanted to play with, or if, like you said, if it was the one who shot the lowest round or the one that finished 16 under first. We were just kind of curious.
Yeah.
I believe it's based on player rankings with number of wins in major championships, maybe FedEx Cup, things like that on that year's tour. Now, there may be a little bit of difference on how they do it in the first two rounds versus the last two rounds, but I think some of those are the factors in how they break ties, basically, to your question, on how they do those final round pairings.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering, because on Sunday, you know, that could be a big deal. And, you know, you've heard many times that players are like, I really don't want to play with him. So I wouldn't think that the leader got to pick out of the three that got left. But I didn't know if it was the first one, you know, that finished at 16 under or whatever, got in. Or I was just kind of curious how they picked that person.
Yeah, we'll see if we can't get a more definitive answer. Because, let's see, the PGA determines the tee times for the first two rounds, and then it's the action of the tournament after that. And so, rather than read this as I talk to you, I will see if we can't come up with the definitive answer before the end of the program.
Perfect. And as always, go Cardinals.
Ah, absolutely. Well, actually,
have a great evening, guys.
Here it is right here, Ken. In the event of ties, the player who finished their round first goes out last. First in, last out. Or philo, as they say.
There you go.
So whoever among the trio of you, Vince, and Jimmy, whoever was done first, that's who gets paired with me. I sure hope it's Ken. Oh, goodness. Vince, you still there?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I didn't know if you were going to just hang up and go after that. But I'll tell you what, why don't we go ahead and get a break, and we'll be back with a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. That's Vince Ferrara. Proud to have him on today, filling in for Jimmy Hyams. A final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk next on 99.1 The Sports Animal.
We work all day under a neon Budweiser sign. Yeah, it's a really cool thing. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, we are Sports Radio WNML.
It's a final segment to today's edition of Sports Talk. I'm John Wilkerson with Vince Ferrara. And Vince, again, remind folks what's coming up tonight at 8 o'clock after the starting 11, the soccer show, which Will West hosts and succeeds Sports Talk.
That's right. We will follow that great show and bring you an hour of MMA talk. We'll look back on last Saturday night's Poirier-Hooker main event and that entire card. In Vegas, we'll look ahead to Fight Island coming up in a couple of weeks with the UFC. We'll preview Valor Fighting Challenge's MMA event that's going to take place at the Cotton Eye Joe this Friday night with a more limited crowd and social distancing. So a lot to discuss. Valor Fighting Challenge president and KMAA head coach Eric Turner will be on the show at about 8:15 as well. So lots of MMA discussion. Well, a ton going on in the sport that keeps moving forward. We'll have that from 8 until 9 tonight. Tim Loy and I host that for you.
Look forward to that. And Vince, you have, this is a conversation that has taken place on the Sports Source, and you have done a lot of looking into it. And that is, while we have seen some really impressive series come together in terms of home and home commitments, and Tennessee's getting ready to go play Oklahoma this year, Volunteers are kind of looking when it comes to future schedules down the road where you have these big-time opponents.
That's right. And when you look at Tennessee, there really isn't a lot of the future schedules that are set for Tennessee. And it got me to wondering, okay, how does this compare to the rest of the league? Because Tennessee really only has three Power 5 non-conference opponents scheduled right now. The Oklahoma game you mentioned, they have a home and home there. They have a home and home with Pittsburgh, home and home with Nebraska. In Power 5, it includes Notre Dame, but does not include BYU and Army. And I know those are there also. But in terms of the truly Power 5 type of programs, did not include those. So that leaves Tennessee with just six Power 5 non-conference future games scheduled. They have eight Group of Fives and one FCS. That's a total of 15 games. They have an opening in the 2021 schedule as well. Now, that's probably not going to be a Power 5 opponent, but in 2025 and beyond, there's a lot of Power 5 openings there. And comparing it to the rest of the league, John, Tennessee is last in Power 5 non-conference games scheduled in the future. Georgia has 36. Florida is second with 30. South Carolina has 23. Alabama has 22. Now, a number of those have the permanent rivalry ACC opponents. Georgia has Georgia Tech, Florida has Florida State, South Carolina has Clemson. So yeah, you take those rivalry games out of the equation, but guess what that still does? That still leaves those schools with a lot more games than Tennessee has. You take out the 18 Georgia Tech games, that still leaves Georgia with 18 Power 5 games in the scheduled non-conference in the future to Tennessee 6. That's a 12-game difference. That's six home-and-home series that Georgia has. In fact, Georgia has 10 seasons with two Power 5 opponents in them. And that's a philosophy that pretty much just Georgia has had. Now other schools like Florida has eight of those seasons. South Carolina has five. Alabama has six. Missouri has three, where they're playing multiple Power Fives in one season in addition to the SEC gauntlet. Georgia even has four seasons where they have three Power Five opponents on their schedule. Florida has two. So it's not just, hey, they already play a team. It's they are challenging themselves multiple times out of conference, and there's just such a big gap with the top and the bottom for Tennessee. And I asked Philip Fulmer about if they were going to add more difficult schedules in out of conference, John, and he said, you know what, I used to, when I first became the athletic director, I said, geez, why don't we play two Power Five out of conference teams every year? And then he said he quickly learned after a couple of years on the job that, hey, we were still fighting to move up in the conference, take care of the games in front of us first, and then we worry about that down the road. The problem with that approach is if you wait until you're good and air quote back, you're not going to have the scheduling opportunities, one. And the other thing is that you may not be good by the time you get to schedule those games 8 or 10 or 12 years down the road.
Good point.
So, and it's, I'm sorry, go ahead, John, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I think Alabama and Oklahoma just put together a series and agreed to play, and I believe the question was, all right, who's going to be coaching which team when that arrives?
Right, because it's so far away. Ohio State was another one that Alabama got together with. So it was, John Pennington first brought it up. I followed up on it, and Will Selton from Game Day on Rocky Top advanced it with some team suggestions. So it kind of did multiple layers, and appreciate all those guys. And you can check out the full blog with a lot more and share your opinion on it, 99.1thesportsanimal.com.
So it's all right there. And again, if you didn't hear the final word to our conversation with Ken, and this is at least according to the PGA Tour, it could be different if you're talking about the British Open or something along those lines. But in the event, you have the lowest combined score from the preceding rounds that go out in the final pairing. So in Ken's scenario, I was 18 under. Ken, Vince, and Jimmy were all 16 under. And it just comes down to whoever finished their round first. First in is last out. So if it were Vince, then it would be me and Vince paired for the final round, and Jimmy and Ken moving forward. So it's that's a pretty easy way to do it. I wonder if that's ever resulted in a foot race. Two guys finish up 18 at the same time, realizing, hey, okay. I guess it would be the guy who sunk his putt first. It would be that simple.
I think that's how you settle that. So I'm with you, though. The only scores like that that are going to pop up in my game is if we are doing putt-putt. Now, I'll go toe-to-toe with anyone in putt-putt, but beyond that, I think those are very very optimistic scores for me, at least, not for Jimmy, though.
Right. No, the only thing that I'll find myself 18 under on a golf course is very early on with expenses.
18 golf balls underwater, right?
That is correct. It's interesting to see exactly what some of the price tags for, whether it be making sure that we all know that businesses and different organizations have encountered great cost in either refitting and or adjusting how you can go eat at their restaurant, or the cost involved in making putting something together. But the price tag for the NBA to put together the bubble in Orlando is said to be around $150 million. Because sources to ESPN said that the cost of housing 22 teams in Orlando at three resorts with three game venues, as well as arranging seven practice courts, $150 million, or essentially what the Wizards have paid John Wall.
and think about that price tag on top of how they've been hit by the lack of revenue coming into the sport without fans and all this time without the game. And just all the longer-term financial hit, plus you add all that expense. But it's something I think they need to do. And if they execute it well, then, you know, they should be able to finish that off. I certainly hope they do. I think sports needs that, and it would be pretty intriguing and exciting if there is that safety aspect and we get to see some basketball this season.
Yeah, very hope so that it is able to go off without really a hitch. But you know that there are going to be some adjustments that have to be made. Rick Pitino, the new coach at Iona, has weighed in on what he thinks the upcoming basketball season should be. Vince, he says it shouldn't start until January, and it should consist of conference games only. Your thoughts on Rick Pitino?
I think it's too early to make those determinations. It's just similar to why the schools aren't making decisions in football about what the fan base is going to be like for the football season. To make that decision this far ahead when this thing can go any number of directions during that time, or when you have to make that, I don't know about making that decision yet. As an alternative, as a scenario, absolutely that would be a consideration, but I don't know that we need to jump on that just yet.
Yeah, I think there is a lot of time and a lot of things that can happen between now and when we get to the fall. When we talk with Mike DeCourcy, our good friend with the Sporting News, he said what the best thing that could help college basketball is that college football goes off without a hitch. And I think that's what a lot of people will be examining and looking at. And so I think that will impact greatly decisions made on other sports, is whether or not football is allowed to start on time and continue to play on schedule.
And they're going to look at other sports as well. How does the NBA execute the bubble? How does the NHL do their hub cities? How does Major League Baseball, the MLS, how all these execute those? They're all keeping an eye on everything.
Vince, we have about 30 seconds left in the program. And what is on? Do we know what the menu is tonight at Mama Ferrara's?
Do not, but it'll be good. Had Swedish meatballs and mashed potatoes that were amazing for a big-time lunch earlier, so it'll be good regardless of what it is.
Well, Vince, have a great dinner. Thank you so much for sitting in on today's program, and we look forward to catching up with you tomorrow as well.
Sounds good. Have a great night. Thanks, John.
All right, thank you. That's going to do it for Sports Talk. Don't forget the starting 11 next.